Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're going no huddle.
With the Midday Show, no huddle.
The best the NFL has to offer.
Let's go now, let's go! Set!
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Midday Show with Andy and Randy here with you. Hour number two on a Friday. NFL no huddle to kick off the 11 o'clock hour, as always. Brought to you by R.S. Andrews. Keep cool. Get an R.S. Andrews Precision AC tune-up. Another way they make you smile. Now, before we get into Falcons training camp storyline number one, a couple other news and notes from around the NFL. Some big news today regarding Tyreek Hill. The NFL says they will not discipline him over the child abuse claims.
Right.
I'll read you the statement from the NFL right here. It says, based on the evidence presently available, the NFL cannot conclude that Mr. Hill violated the personal conduct policy. Accordingly, he may attend Kansas City's training camp and participate in all club activities. He has been and will continue to be subject to conditions set forth by the district court. And then they went on to say one more thing, and I do want to make sure that I get this correct, that they said that, can you give it to me again, Brian, so I say it exactly right? About the child's safety. Okay, Brian's grabbing it because this was the part that was, throughout this investigation, the NFL's primary concern has been the well-being of the child. Our understanding is that the child is safe and that the child's ongoing care is being directed and monitored by the Johnson County District Court and the Johnson County Department for Children and Families. Yeah. Our understanding is that the child is safe.
All right. The Chiefs have come out with a statement based on the information provided to us by the league. We have decided it is appropriate for Tyreek to return to the team at the start of training. So he's back. My thing, Andy, is, first of all, something happened to that baby's arm. All right, we know that. Something happened to that baby's arm.
Baby's arm got broken.
And I know, and it's crazy when you see this on Twitter. Oh, Tom Brady got four games of this, and Zeke suspension, got six games for all that. Yeah, get all that. They believe that Tom Brady was lying.
Yep.
They believe that Zeke Elliott did something to this young lady.
Yep.
They don't know what happened here. Because me and you were just talking about, they don't know what happened right here. The whole Kareem Hunt thing, they saw the video. You know what I'm saying? They saw all this stuff right here. This is a situation where, they just don't know what happened. And I thought he was going to get suspended anyways.
I did too.
I honestly thought he was going to be suspended because of that. But I mean, NFL is so damn reactionary. I mean, you wish they would just take a point and just stand by that. And right. This personal conduct policy, it's a joke, man.
Well, it's all over the place.
It's a joke,
and that's what it is.
Because there's no consistency
at
to
all.
It. And that's the best part about it.
Because
again,
5 years ago, Tyreek Hill would have got suspended for four games.
He was suspended four games. He would have been suspended.
Yep.
But here's the thing. I mean, it all boils down to this baby. And something happened to this child. All right? And I'm glad that, you know, the proper authorities and everybody's taking this child's safety this serious. Because you took it that serious before, maybe his arm would have been broken. Because this ain't the first time that the police have been called about something happening to this boy. So
I hope the NFL's right. And I think that's the NFL's entire way they've dealt with this. Like, I think the NFL just hopes they're right. Because they don't know.
They
like
don't know.
Said,
this is bull. This is bull, dude.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really.
And what do you think should have happened?
I thought he should have been suspended.
Yeah.
I did. But again, I don't know if he broke that, if he hurt that baby. And to me, that's the only thing that the NFL can explain to you right now. We don't know. Because you knew with Zeke, even though Zeke wasn't arrested or anything, but you just knew it. So you took the notion and just suspended him. Do you not know? That's my biggest thing. All the investigators that the NFL has, and they got a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all mean to tell me you couldn't get to the bottom of this?
And I think that they're terrified of being wrong.
Yeah.
Because they've been wrong so many times over the last 10 years. And every time they're wrong about something, it's a giant public relations nightmare that drags on forever and ever and ever. And I guess they still could be wrong about this. There could be evidence that is released at some point that shows that Tyreek Hill did
do it.
It could be. No, we don't have it. They don't have it, obviously. But they didn't want to suspend a guy for four games and then have it come back actually didn't do it and that it was a setup or whatever. And then they've got egg on their face all over again, just like the last 10 years of making these decisions, which is why I just I don't know that the NFL independently can be in the business
of suspending their players.
Yes.
I mean, because right now there's nothing that y'all do about this that is consistent with the rules that you tried to persuade.
Right.
Ever since the whole Ray Rice thing, and you got it wrong that time, it's like you don't know how to suspend people, how many games, with the investigation. And now it's getting to the point where Tyreek's back. There's going to be plenty of backlash. There's not going to be any, suspension. He's not going to miss any time. And probably in the next couple of weeks, the Chiefs might start negotiating him a new contract last year of his rookie deal.
That's going to be the crazy part of it.
Yeah.
With all of this stuff out there lingering, conversations about the non-suspension and all of that, Tyreek Hill might get what? One of the five highest wide receiver contracts in the NFL? Like, that's what's crazy about it. Like, the NFL just determined that he's not going to get suspended.
Yeah.
If they had made the determination that he was going to get suspended, he absolutely wasn't going to get a new contract.
But the thing about it, Andy, he ain't getting no low-level receiver.
No,
he's going to be one of the highest paid.
He might. Now, if Julio gets the big contract, he's not going to jump Julio.
But no.
But if he doesesn't, he's going to get like $18 million a year.
Yeah, the Chiefs can't be like, oh, we can just offer him $10 million. No,
I didn't get suspended.
Exactly. No. And then if they don't do it and he plays out this year, you know what somebody's going to do?
Pay him.
Yeah.
No, it's about to be a really, really difficult month for the Kansas City
Chiefs.
Yes,
it is.
Because all of this is happening.
Yes.
And you give this dude what? $40 million guaranteed
and all that money.
And look, I'm not saying it's going to happen.
It's going to be some mess.
But say more information comes out about this and you gave him all that money and the NFL didn't suspend him, then everybody looks dumb.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be it has a chance to be a cluster blank. Yeah. You know that.
And the good news is that's not happening here. Now, obviously, it's never good when a kid is involved, but that's the Chiefs and the NFL's situation right now. One of the many reasons why Julio Jones is somebody that's very nice to have as your franchise wide receiver. You don't have to worry about any nonsense with Julio, whether it's diva stuff like AB and Odell, whether it's really bad off the field stuff like other guys in the NFL. One of the very nice things about Julio is not only is he incredibly good, you also don't have to worry about anything. But the one thing we have to worry about right now with Julio is when are they going to get it done? Because we were talking about this before the show and trying to wonder and figure out why they haven't done it yet. Would it be crazy for Julio and his agent to say, you know what, we're not really in a rush.
Mm-hmm.
Want to see what Michael Thomas gets.
Yeah.
Want to see what Tyreek Hill gets. Want to see what these other guys get. Because I don't want to do what I did last time, where I'm the first one to sign, and then people leapfrog me immediately, and I'm not the highest paid wide receiver in the NFL anymore.
Here it is. Julio said he didn't care about being highest paid, so can he go first again? He went first last time, then Dez came, then Bebe Thomas came, and then those receiver contracts started coming down. Because I never thought anybody was going to get what Calvin Johnson got that 1 year. Like 7 years, 100 and something million. I mean, Larry got something similar to that. But, yeah, I mean, why not wait? But if I'm Julio, I mean, what do you have? I mean, there's no reason for Julio to wait right now. I mean, you're still going to be the highest paid. I don't think Michael Thomas's contract is going to surpass Julio Jones.
It would be surprising to me.
I would be really surprised if Michael Thomas.
I know he's asking for 22 a year.
Yeah,
I would be
surprised if his contract went to pass Odell. I think he'd be somewhere in 17, 18, somewhere in that area.
Right in that neighborhood.
I think Julio's going to be at 19, 20 somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this Tyreek's going to get his bread.
Mm-hmm.
And Julio's going to get his. It's just a matter of fact of when it happens and how long is it going to take. Because I think they have the parameters of something out right now. You know, I just think it's just a couple here and there type things, but. Yeah, Julio's going to be the highest paid receiver no matter what.
I just don't think it would be bad business for Julio to wait. I think it would probably be good business for Julio to wait because he's got a contract anyway. Like, Julio's going to make $13.5 million this season, right? Like, that's not anything to sneeze at. And he's going to get more than that on the new contract, but $13.5 million while I wait to see what Michael Thomas gets so then I can make sure that I get more than Michael Thomas.
He's going to get more than Michael Thomas. I don't think when Michael Thomas gets his new contract, there's going to be more than Julio.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Yeah,
but I'm just saying, it's not a bad idea to wait. It doesn't. I mean, if you can get yourself an extra this, that, or the other in your contract, it's not a bad business move to wait.
Yeah.
Because Julio has nothing pressing. That's all I'm saying. It'll be interesting to see how quickly they get it done. Obviously, we'll be at training camp on Monday. Whether or not Julio's deal is done by Monday or not, I don't know. But we'll be up there and be able to talk to folks about that. I know we're anticipating talking to Dan Quinn next week, maybe Thomas Dimitroff, hopefully as well. So hopefully we talk to them after all the contracts are taken care of. We can talk about all that stuff being behind them. Now, that brings us to Falcons storyline number one. headed into training camp coming up on Monday. We've counted all the way down from 10. We talked about injuries and new coaches and offensive linemen and Matt Ryan yesterday and all of that. The story of the season, the narrative of the season is Super Bowl or bust.
Yeah.
That's the definitive talking point regarding the Falcons in 2019. This is the year. Last year was the year. The year before last year was the year.
Yeah.
And that makes this year even more the year because you've done literally everything that you could possibly do this offseason in one way or another. However you want to talk about the issues that the Falcons had, they've gone about trying to address all of them in some way. This is it, right? Win now.
This team is built to win now. That's why you say that. And Dan is basing everything off of just straight health right now. He's basing the fact that he's going to call his defense. He's got his guys. He's got his guys ready. He's going to. He knows what Vic does well. He knows what Tack does best. And I'm going to put him in position to do what they do best. I believe in that. These second year guys, and that's one of the big things too. Defense or not, Isaiah Oliver. These second year guys. What are they going to do in their second year in the league? Because as all the guys we've talked about, we haven't talked a lot about Defense or not. And he's supposed to be – he's a third-round guy. He should be a starter right now, but yet we don't talk about and mention him as playing a bigger role because he didn't play a big role last year. I'm banking on Marcus Trufant – I mean Marcus Trufant, call his brother. Desmond Trufant.
Nice guy, Marcus
yeah,
Trufant.
Yes, he is. I'm banking on him because Des didn't play bad last year. He just didn't play great. And of course, we equate everything to the amount of money you make.
Yeah.
You know,
and the interceptions that you create.
And you drop.
Or drop.
And then, you know, is Keanu Neal going to be ready? Well, Keanu Neal will be ready.
Yeah.
How long does it take Ricardo? Can KZ, can he adjust to the nickel slot? I mean, he has all these things to work with, but in his mind, I'm the DC. I know what they do best.
I just think about it like if you look at an offseason, do you ever make lists? Like when you have a bunch of stuff to do over a weekend or over a week or something, do you ever make a checklist for yourself?
Yeah.
Okay, me too. And if the Falcons had done that this offseason, which maybe they did, maybe they didn't, but all the things you would list that you would want them to work on this offseason, they went about addressing all of them in some manner. Now, you might disagree with how they addressed them because, look, Tack and Vic are an issue. That's on the to-do list. Well, the to-do for them to fix that was Dan Quinn becoming the defensive coordinator exclusively and saying that he was going to work with them hands-on. Whether or not that works, we'll find out. But they went about doing something to try to address it. Again, you might disagree with their philosophy, but they went after it. The offensive line, they went after it. Getting contracts done, they did that. Like, everything that you could... Getting an offensive coordinator that you believe in, they did that. The thing that has lingered around this franchise throughout Dan Quinn's entire tenure, and look, maybe I don't know if it's the defining, but it's one of the defining characteristics of the Dan Quinn tenure is what if. Is how close they've gotten and why they haven't been able to close it out. A lot of people think that the reason they haven't been able to close these things out is because of decision-making in crunch time. They got a game clock manager now. Like, everything that they've struggled with, they've gone about trying to fix, which to me just makes it even more must-win.
I mean, when you have a team like this, and I remember I asked you this earlier this week. I said, how long do you get to ride that we made it to a Super Bowl train?
Not anymore.
That's way in the distance.
Well, because here's the thing about that one. Like, I think it's making it to the Super Bowl in and of itself, obviously, is worth some level of cushion.
Right.
Some level of trust from the higher-ups. But I also think you have to use the context of what the Super Bowl was.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, they made the Super Bowl, but they lost in the most devastating fashion in Super Bowl history.
Exactly.
So making the game isn't quite as valuable as it would have been if it had gone differently. I mean, winning it, of course, but I mean losing differently. You know what I mean? Like, that lingers. And the pain of that loss lingers.
Yeah, it does. It does. And you, because you see the talent. I think that's one of the most frustrating things. You see how talented this team is. And you thought, I know last year, I thought they were maybe the most talented team in the NFL last year from top to bottom, 1 to 53. And then you just look at how, from the first night in Philly, how it just dwindled away and bodies kept going down, and not just regular bodies. I'm talking about your main five-star type guys. They're dropping like flies out there, and now you're having to replace them and patchwork with people who, yeah, they can play in an NFL game, but they shouldn't be playing all those plays in an NFL game. And that is what they have got to avoid now. We talked about Devontae Freeman, how important he is, but yesterday we also said, what do they do if something does happen to him? Knocking on wood, hoping nothing does, but what do you do if something does happen to Devontae?
That's the one where you don't have a great answer.
You don't.
the problem is, and we talked about this too, this was Falcons preseason storyline number 6 or something like that, the Devontae Freeman problem. Because when Devontae Freeman's healthy, yeah, great. He's phenomenal. One of the best running backs in the NFL. That's why you paid him as such. But for so much of the success of your season to be sort of teetering on the edge, the tipping point of Devontae Freeman is really kind of scary. Because as good as Devontae is, no one can say definitively that Devontae Freeman's going to be healthy for an entire season.
You can't.
No one can.
No, you really can't. But the importance of him and then you not having a Tevin Coleman as somebody to fall back on, I mean, that's a big deal. I mean, I like Ito. I think he's a very nice player. All of a sudden, you don't know what you're going to get from him. Is Brian Hill even going to make the team? I mean, there's so many ifs with that position right there. And when you look at the lack of depth there, the lack of depth at the defensive line, because we don't know what the – because of – what I just said about Deidre tonight, what is he going to be this year? I think I kind of know what Tyler Davidson is. He's a solid, rotational-type defensive tackle. Mm-hmm. I think it's safe to say that's what he is. But you don't know what Deidre tonight is going to be. All right, I mean, you don't want to consistently play Ty Crawford in there because, you know, he lightened the britches too. Now, he can give you some a little bit as a rotation, but you don't want him playing 30 plays a game either. So you got to find something.
When you look at the season as a whole, and again, looking at it through the perspective of this topic, that it's must win, that it's Super Bowl now, they've got the ingredients and all of that. Like, how does that play into the way that we think about Dan Quinn? Because I think we have a pretty high opinion of Dan Quinn here in the city. There's issues here and there. I saw an NFL.com ranking of head coaches yesterday. He was number 11,
mm-hmm.
and I think that's right. But the problem with that is Dan Quinn is so close to being higher than that if two or three or four things go differently.
That is true.
Like, Dan Quinn...
could easily be a top five.
Could be a top five coach in the NFL.
If you won the Super Bowl.
You close the game out.
If Julio catches that ball. I mean, there's so many ifs with Dan, and it's unfortunate.
Even last year.
Because it seems like all of it's heartbreak. You know what I'm saying?
I know.
It's all heart. You're just like, God. You know, it's just, ugh.
So that's why this year is so valuable. Obviously, you want to win, and that's what matters most. But just to the perception of Dan Quinn. Like, Dan Quinn's the 11th ranked coach in the NFL right now. And has every argument to be higher than that.
Mm-hmm.
But if this season doesn't go well with all this talent and everything they've done, he could very well be lower than that, too. A lot riding on this season, Randy. It's going to be fun. Training camp starts on Monday.
We'll be there.
We're going to be there. Flowery Branch.
With our new hats.
We do. Randy's got his new hat on right now. Looks good, man. We'll come back and get back into the Braves. Not good last night. Not good at all. It's pretty obvious what the Braves need to do to fix things. Are they going to? We'll talk about that coming up next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
92.9 The Game. Andy Randy, coming at you on the midday show. Andy Randy, if you don't listen, then you got to go. Andy Randy, all the news that you can use. Andy Randy, what they're doing for you.
Yes. love it.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy. Now, there's a couple different ways that you can get involved with the show like that today. Wendy is coming up in 20 minutes with the Wendy Zone, but also it's Friday, which means Sports Jeopardy at 12:40. We're still going to use some listener questions. If you want to get some trivia questions in on Sports Jeopardy coming up at 12:40 when Randy and I square off in sports trivia, send them to Wendy on Twitter, at Wendy Radio. DM her so we can't see them because I will cheat. And maybe we could give people shout-outs. Like, if people send one to you and you use it, we'll give them a shout-out. So make sure you include your name. And I mean, your Twitter handle's already on there, but throw your name in there, and we'll give you a shout-out if we use your question. Also, and we did this a couple weeks ago, we're still looking for some of those good listener-generated rejoins. Coming back from break with something that you have to say.
Just one per person.
One per person. Because we did get bombarded.
And he was great.
A number of different people. Keep them short.
Yeah, keep them short.
They don't have to be that creative. But, you know.
No, they have to be creative.
We have to be creative. I'm just saying they don't have to be long-winded. You know what I mean?
10 seconds ago, like Brian just
10, 15 seconds, and that's a good way to go. But we're still looking for them. So if you want to send in a welcome back to the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, something weird about Randy, something weird about Andy, blah, 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 and we'll use it. You can send those to Wendy as well on Twitter, at Wendy Radio. Now, I know I got a couple in my email, and I forgot to forward them to these guys, so I will do that. I've got a couple just sort of living in my email
right
now.
Your email's open like that?
I mean, it's easy. If you want to know anybody's email address that works at the station, it's just their first name, period, last name, at intercom.com.
Oh, I don't ever check my intercom.
You don't have... Oh, that's so funny. Yeah. You know how much stuff's probably
in there? Oh, man, I bet that thing is loaded.
Man, I email Randy twice a week, and he never gets back to me. He really must hate me.
No, I don't hate anybody. I mean, but y'all have my regular email. I told you one time I put my email on my Twitter by accident. I was texting with Thomas Davis, and he's like, let me get your email because he was going to send me some info for a camp. And I, instead of DMing it back to him, I put it on my regular feed.
Uh-oh.
Oh, man.
Could have been worse. You could have sent your phone number like that. No. That would have been a lot worse. Speaking of guys that played at Georgia that you're friends with, Richard Seymour is going to join us in the 12 o'clock hour, 12:20.
My dog.
Richard Seymour.
Big Mo.
Yep. Can't wait to talk to him. A lot to get into with him. Mark Richt's going to join us at 1:20. So we got a lot of guests coming up throughout the rest of the show. And Sports Jeopardy, as we said, at 12:40. So send the questions to Wendy. The Wendy Zone coming up in 20 minutes. All right. Let's get back to what happened last night with the Braves. You want to start with the Strasburg home run just because it was sort of, it was a perfect encapsulation of how awful last night was. Right here.
Fly ball belted by Strasburg. It is going to fly out of here, a home run. Wow. Well, with all due respect to our friends at Cadillac, this inning escalated quickly.
Damn Chip.
Nicely done, Chip.
Damn Chip.
Chip Carey, Fox Sports South, with a solid dad joke. I guess laugh so you don't cry, right? Because Steven Strasburg hitting a home run off of you, hitting a 420-foot home run off Tuki Toussaint, was not good, but it was perfect representation of what last night was. Tuki Toussaint gets rocked around out of the bullpen. He gets sent down to Gwinnett today. Kyle Wright, a terrible start, 2 2/3, 7 earned runs. He gets sent down to Gwinnett today as well.
He just got here.
And he just got here. Just turn right around and go back.
He's going to pack his bag.
Those guys are headed back down to the minor leagues, and I guess we just continue this process for the time being of calling up other pitchers that were down there. Now, we know that Patrick Weigel is coming up. He's a starting pitcher.
He had Tommy John. That's right. That's exactly why he had Tommy John surgery. But he's been pretty solid, in minor leagues right now. But is he the answer? That's my thing. Is he going to start today?
Well, what's the question?
What did you say yesterday?
He might be the answer.
How long can they stay? I mean, that's to me right now. Instead of saying, are they going to get a next start? How long are they staying?
Not very long at this point. They just sort of come up and turn around.
So what's the point of keeping these guys? Great tweet. The guy's like, it just seems like they're not mentally tough. Again, I go back, Kyle Wright, it did start bad with an error by Acuna. Mm-hmm. But you got to find a way to bounce back from that.
Yeah, but no, I don't necessarily agree with that with Kyle Wright yesterday. I don't think it was about being mentally tough. I think it was about not being very good. Kyle Wright got off the hook in the first inning and the second inning because of really good defense.
He did.
They turned a double play with runners on first and third in the first inning with one out. Great defense. Second inning, he got bailed out by really good defense. They were hitting the ball hard off of him. They just started to – now, he got hurt by bad defense in the third inning by Acuna and Ender. But the rest of those balls were just smoked.
We see this. You see this, right? You watched the game yesterday.
I watched it
at home yesterday.
I was watching it.
Brian, did you watch the game? I'm sure the lovely people of Atlanta and everywhere else that are listening – they saw it too. Why don't the Braves see that?
They probably do.
Are you sure about that?
Maybe not.
Are you sure about that? Because I said this at the beginning of the year. Are they staying pat because they feel like, okay, we can win with this. We'll add a couple guys here. Because remember, they went out and spent $55 million. Well, at 13, so what's that? $68 million.
That's good quick math there.
Pretty good.
UGA right there.
You like that, didn't you? But at the same time, these prospects that you're so scared to give up on because you don't want any of them to be a Cy Young Award winner. You don't want somebody to come back here and haunt you. That's what you're afraid to move that. I understand the Pache thing because he to me, people say he's a generational type center fielder with power, speed, all that good stuff. But somebody got to go. And this whole Ian Anderson thing, I know he's supposed to be a stud. I know he's the number one pick. I get all that. But what makes you think that he's going to end up being a Madison Bumgarner? Because we know what Madison Bumgarner is, right?
He's really good right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We know what he is right now.
And I understand the hesitancy
to give up prospects. I do.
I totally get it. I'm not saying that that's not a bad philosophy. A lot of these guys that are here right now could have been traded in the last 4 years if you wanted to try to rebuild quicker. The fact that they had patience kept Ronald Acuna, and now he's here starting in the All-Star game. Kept Ozzie Albies. Now he's here every single day, batting 400 right-handed this season. Same thing with Austin Riley. You could have traded him last season if you wanted to go all in. You didn't. Now he's here,
yep,
playing every single day except yesterday.
And that's the crazy thing about it, just like you said, because you remember when Ozzie was in trade? Oh, you can just trade Ozzie for this guy.
Right.
That's what Ozzie turned to.
Right.
I mean, that would make me hesitate also.
But the difference to me is that when you were doing that, you didn't know that you had a team that was capable of going to the World Series, an offense that was capable of going to the World Series. Now you do. You've got a team that's that good. I mean, that's what we're talking about, right? Like, just because they've lost three games in a row doesn't mean that that's not true anymore. It's still true. They still have that talent on this roster to make that run. Back then, 2-3 years ago, you're in the middle of a rebuild, maybe even 5 years ago when you tore everything down. You could have made some trades from minor league players and tried to keep it going. So you did the right thing, and you did the right thing by hanging on to those guys and not moving them in a reactionary fashion even last year to try to make a better run. You were very careful about the trade. You got Gausman, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you made minor moves that were good enough to get you to the playoffs. My issue is I don't know that minor moves are going to be enough right now. And I think right now, where I'm talking literally about today, when the Nationals throw Patrick Corbin out there, the day after they threw Steven Strasburg out there, and a couple days before they might throw Max Scherzer at you on Sunday. This series is maybe the wake-up call that the Braves need.
Good point.
Because this is exactly why we can't count on the playoffs.
Good point.
Because if you're going to go to the playoffs, you're probably going to play against a team that has a pitching rotation like this.
And the thing about it, and you notice in the playoffs, great pitching usually does beat great hitting in the playoffs. That's why the rotation is so short in that time, because you want to keep your guys out there, and then you pitch them to their arm fall off. Hey, just put some ice on it, get ready, because some of these guys can do that. The Braves don't have a guy in their whole rotation right now that can do that. I'm not even sure, as great as Mike Soroka has been, that he can do that.
But you don't know.
You don't know.
He's never done it.
But the thing about it is, you're going to have to find out, because he's one of your best pitchers.
And I'm okay with that. I'm happy with that. I like the idea of Mike Soroka finding out in the playoffs this year, because then he's got experience. And then next year, you know that Mike Soroka can do it, and he feels more confident. Like, everything Mike Soroka does this year is for the first time, and that's good. He was in the All-Star game for the first time. That's great. You don't know what you can do until you do it. But I don't know that you can count on an entire staff of guys that you don't know what they can do. Dallas Keuchel, you know what he could do.
Right.
If you go to the playoffs this year, Dallas Keuchel is going to make a start as long as he's healthy.
Yes.
If you go to the playoffs this year, Mike Soroka is going to make a start as long as he's healthy.
Yes.
But what else?
That's it.
And that's the problem. That's the issue.
Because
right
Max
now.
Fried, the thing with, I think if you look at it that way, yeah, Max Fried can be one of those guys. But you just don't know, because this blister thing, will it flare up at the wrong time? Because I mean, I've had blisters on my hands and everything like that. But I ain't got to throw no damn football. I mean, I was about to say football. I ain't got to throw no baseball. And just the fact of how much pain he's in. And then, you know, can football come back?
These are all these questions that are unknown. So is Gausman going to pitch on Sunday? What's he going to look like?
I think he is.
If he pitches well, does that solve things?
No,
No,
it does not solve it, but. It gives you a little clarity, does it?
It might.
Yeah.
It might. But again, this gets back to I understand the hesitance to not want to trade prospects. I get it. Because Ian Anderson might be the best pitcher in baseball in three seasons.
He might be, but he might not.
He might not. Yeah. No, I'm saying Christian Pache might be the best center fielder in baseball in 3 years.
But it's possible.
Drew Waters might be one of the best players of baseball in a couple years. He might be. But I don't know that you have the luxury right now to bank on that.
But here's the thing.
When you know that you can bring someone in here that you need to be good every five days.
But here's the thing with the prospects. I'm not talking about the non-pitching prospects. Every one of them has been really damn good.
True.
I mean.
They have.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have.
Every one of them has been pretty.
They've been right.
They've been right.
Acuna's been amazing.
You know what
I'm
saying?
Aldi's been amazing. Austin Riley's been amazing.
I feel bad if you trade away like Acuna-like production.
Me too.
From my outfield.
Me too.
Be real bummed.
But again, but
if it gives me a parade right here on Peachtree,
then okay.
I'm all for it.
Then you did it for the right reason. Yeah. And even if it doesn't, you still did it with the right reason in mind, which was trying to win right now, which is what I think that they should be trying to do.
You think they have the parade on Peachtree or around the Battery?
I don't know. Maybe down at South Atlanta Road up there in Smyrna, right by my house, by the ballpark. I don't know where the parade would be. That'd be a good problem to have, though.
Yeah.
It'd be a good thing to try to figure out where the parade goes. All right, we'll come back. The Wendy Zone, Wendy Adams in studio.
Fame.
We do it every day. So don't go anywhere. Wendy Adams coming up next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Be respectful of Wendy. She's a lady, all right?
She's a lady.
All right, everybody stand up!
It's time for a look at the world of sports, celebrities, and more. Is the Wendy Zone on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
That's right. Time for the Wendy Zone, 11:40 on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy.
It came out the wrong
way. What accent would you say that was, Randy?
It was supposed to be like how Sinead, did y'all watch Martin?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you remember Sinead? Because I'm a lady. She's a
lady. She's a lady. I'm going to use that all weekend.
It reminded me of there was a skit on the Love Below album Remember that album, Outkast? Yeah. Andre 3000 had a skit with Ben Bentworth Farnsley or something like that. Farnsley, whatever.
Wasn't he like, wasn't he Diddy's butler?
Yeah, he's like Diddy. He held the umbrella for Diddy.
Yeah.
They did a skit on the album where a woman walked by and they said, "Behold, a lady." And that's what it sounded like to me. Anyway.
He's a lady.
It'll never not get old.
Wendy's in studio for the Wendy Zone. How are you, Wendy?
I'm doing good, guys. All week we've been talking about players reacting to the Madden ratings. Then you had the NBA 2K20 ratings coming out. LeBron James actually playing with some of his teammates, doing some off-season homework with his new Lakers teammates, which was pretty cool. Well, I don't play video games, and I haven't played any of the sports video games, but the NBA 2K video game apparently features real NBA stars voicing the storytelling parts of the game.
That's cool.
But it's not very good. Oh. So some of the players include Al Jefferson. You have Dion Waiters, Markieff Morris are a part of the voices that are
the real star,
the big stars,
big stars, the big guy, the big guns
of the video game. Well, it's so bad that someone on Twitter decided to do a montage of what it sounded like, and here's a 30-second portion of the montage.
Okay,
we got to get this train right back on track, real quick, like.
That's right. We all have that attitude. The train will be rolling in no time. Let's do it.
Oh, my. Someone called the National Weather Service. We had an unanticipated storm in the building tonight.
Who had thought?
About what?
That a young buck like you could actually do the right thing and avoid getting his story
bucked teammate the game. Back. He told me to chill.
Sounds like a wise fella to win in this league.
Is that 50 Cent?
I don't know, but it's not good acting is what it is. It's not good acting.
One of those guys can't read. Like, that's...
You could tell they're reading from the script, and it's unfortunate because the graphics of this video game are pretty awesome.
I bet they are.
But the acting is
completely. Who did you say those three guys were? Markieff Morris, Dion Waiters.
And Al Jefferson.
Future Big Three team right there. That is a Big Three roster if I've ever heard one in my life.
When you say those names, like, it's Big Three?
It sounds like
it. I know my boy, he likes 2K better than Madden.
Really?
Yeah, he likes that 2K because I guess you can do all the college and high school. Oh. Yeah, he like all that stuff.
They should get some real play-by-play guys to do the voiceover for this work. You would just think they would maybe get like a Kevin Hart. He's pretty phenomenal doing it. He could probably have read some of the storylines.
I think in the past, and I haven't played 2K in a long time.
I haven't played it at all.
But they used to have real, I mean, like Marv Albert, I think, was the voice once.
Yes.
Kevin Harlan was on there. But they have real broadcasters, but I mean, I get the idea of what they're trying to do there. Didn't work quite the way they hoped it would.
Bite more.
What name did I say? I meant Kevin Harlan.
Kevin Harlan. You said Kevin Hart.
Also, of course I did.
A funny comedian.
Actually, he's a great comedian, yeah. Kevin Hart might know how to, you know, read a script.
He would have done better than that.
Yeah, he would have done way better.
Real quick, Eddie Murphy is reportedly negotiating with Netflix about a multi-$1 million stand-up return.
Yes. Huh. Yes. Yes.
I love Eddie Murphy.
I've been waiting for this for such a long time.
One more good run, yeah.
Is Raw the last time he did stand-up? Has there been a stand-up?
I can't. Would you like better, Raw or Delirious?
Delirious. I like Delirious better.
Oh, man. That damn Raw was
Raw was really
Raw
good.
Raw was so crazy.
He just seemed so mad in Raw.
That's why I liked
something
it.
Something was really, like angry he was black really man. Mad.
I loved it. I mean, I love Delirious.
Don't get me wrong. I liked it, too. But Delirious was like, I was like, I don't know. I mean, I wasn't even alive when it came out. But I remember.
You weren't alive when it came out?
Delirious came out like, what, like 1980?
No, 83, yeah.
83?
No, you weren't alive.
I wasn't alive in 83.
Yeah.
But I remember seeing it. I remember, and Raw came out in 87. I remember because my stepdad had both of them on tape, actually. We had
them on
tape.
That's how you watch
them
on tape.
VHS?
On VHS tape, yep. And I remember I saw Raw, and I mean, it was amazing.
It was great.
But I saw Delirious. I saw Delirious second. I saw Raw first.
Oh, yeah. I saw Delirious first. I remember I snuck and watch it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I had to sneak and watch it when Mama was gone. Because I know how to work the VCR, man. I was in there hollering.
I remember when my stepdad brought home the DVD of Chris Rock, Bigger and Blacker.
Uh-huh.
I remember the cover of it looked like a No Limit cover
back in the
day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And to this day, I swear, like, I don't think any hour and a half long movie, stand-up special, anything else has had more of a big impact on my life than Bigger and Blacker by Chris. Like, my whole world changed when I saw that stand-up. I was like, I didn't know you could be funny like that. Like the way Chris Rock was funny in that stand-up special.
Oh, my goodness.
I could probably still recite half the bits right now. I watched that thing so many times.
What you got? Okay,
but what's the year of kids not knowing what a VHS is or VCR?
Now?
Now?
Probably.
Like, what year were they born in?
Oh, 2005 maybe.
Because I know I got videotapes. I got a lot of videotapes. Like a lot of old games, a lot of old games on video.
Oh yeah,
I got a lot of those.
Do you still have a VCR though?
We have one. It's probably in the attic somewhere.
The only
how do you watch
videos
those?
We have are like old home videos.
Mm-hmm.
I got like a video of my fifth birthday and stuff like that. But we don't have a VCR. You know, I keep meaning to do this for Christmas for my dad.
Yeah.
Is get it put onto a DVD. But even that would be dumb now. Like get it put onto an MOV file or something like that. So
I found an old flick though.
Huh?
I found an old flick from college.
You did?
Yeah.
Did you put it in?
Of course.
What was
I did.
It? What is it?
A flick.
An X-rated movie.
Oh.
How was it still? Did it hold up?
Did it stand the test of time?
It's still good?
Well, I mean, nah.
No?
Nah. I'll leave that alone. Let's keep moving.
Talk about it.
What was different about
it? Yeah, thank you. That was Mama talking to me. Watch. Keep going, Andy.
Yeah. I don't know really how to transition to this from that, but I'm gonna try. So there was a video put out by Mecole Hardman from Georgia. He was signed by the Kansas City Chiefs, a second round pick. Uh-huh. And it's a really cool video and something really awesome he did for his mom. So in the video, it's Mecole Hardman standing in front of a house. And then the video turns to a van that sort of pulls up in front of the house. And he gets out and his mom is blindfolded. And he brings her out of this van and then in front of the house takes off the blindfold. He gifted his mother a house.
Oh. That's awesome.
So awesome.
He said in his tweet, "I've been dreaming of buying my mama a house since I was 8, and now to finally do it, words can't explain how happy I am. I love you, Ma, times 1,000 million. It's my turn to take care of you now."
That's like,
it was a very sweet gesture. His entire family was there with balloons and just showing her around the house.
One of the greatest gifts
tears.
You can ever gift your mom.
You got to do that, right?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Like, because you do as a little boy, you know.
Yeah.
You know. Hey, mom, I'm going to get you a house. And you know it's your mom. Okay, baby. And, you know, going back out there and play. And, it is a feeling that is indescribable. I will always tell people that's one of the greatest things that I've ever been able to do for her. And, that's just solid. That's so solid.
It's a really cool video. Yeah. If you haven't seen it, I recommend you go to Mecole Hardman's Twitter account and just watch it. It's a really good feel-good video.
Mecole
for this
and,
morning.
Damn, Tyreek Hill on the set.
That's a fast duo.
You put Kelsey in the middle. Sammy Watkins ain't slow either. And then the Folk Valley boy out there, Robinson. Good gracious!
Yeah, that's they've got so much.
If you got
speed
that dude that can throw it.
He can throw it 100 yards.
Whew.
That's crazy.
Didn't he
offense.
Throw it over?
He threw it out of the stadium.
Yeah, out of the
Arrowhead Stadium. So your mom's probably listening, right, Randy?
Yeah,
my mom's probably listening too.
Hi, Moz.
My mom's like, Randy bought his mom a house.
Well,
I'm trying to think of the best thing I ever bought my mom.
You were the best thing that happened to your mom.
You got to buy
some dish towels.
I'm the best thing
that
ever happened to my mom. Well, my sister too. She was cool too. But yeah, I'm the best thing that happened.
I think like a gift card to Amazon last Christmas.
Maybe a Roomba.
Yeah, we went halves on like an exercise bike. I don't know. The house is coming eventually.
Yeah.
Like one of those tiny homes.
You're never too
old
to buy mama a house,
right? Those tiny homes.
Yeah, I'll get her a dollhouse.
Yeah, those are
We'll come back and get to the most important audio in the entire world. Richard Seymour going to join us in a half hour as well. Thanks, Wendy. Wendy will be back in an hour for Sports Jeopardy. You can keep sending Sports Jeopardy questions to Wendy as well. We'll be back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And my son, my baby boy, Randy McMichael.
I am so proud to be your mom, Andy. I love listening to you and
Randy
every day.
Even though I didn't buy her a house.
I am a proud mom. Watch out now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.